Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Oh, hallelujah. God has prepared us for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Matthew chapter 11. Praise God. And verse 7. And as they departed, and Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothes are in king's houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way, thy way before thee. And verily I say unto thee, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the laws and the prophesies, the law prophesies unto John. And it shall, and if we will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. For he has the ears to hear, and let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It shall liken unto a children sitting in the marketplace and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. And John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he is a devil. He has a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. But wisdom is justified of her children. By the grace of God today, I want to preach, take it. Take it. Hallelujah. Take it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, in the powerful and matchless name of the only living God today, we stand before your presence, Lord God, your awesome presence, your divine greatness, your power, your authority. And we pray in the name of Jesus that today, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay in the mighty and matchless name of the only living God. Hallelujah. That Lord God, that our knee will bow and our tongues, God, today will confess that you are Lord and Lord God Almighty today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We pray, God, for revelation and divine anointing today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Take it. Hallelujah. Let's put up John, let's put up Matthew chapter 3 from verse 1. Hallelujah. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Go on, brother. Saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Praise God. Repent ye, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Here comes John the Baptist out of the wilderness, hollering and screaming. In fact, he was shouting to the people and telling them, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was talking to the Jews. He was talking to the religious sector of that particular day. They did not have the power of the Holy Ghost. They only had the word of God. They only had the substance of God's word. But at the same point, the unfortunate point is that the Jewish nation at this particular time had become so religious. They had become so traditional. They had become so staunch in what they believed and what they were doing, that they had no feel and no touch towards God. They didn't know the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. The only thing they knew was the law. And all of a sudden, here comes John the Baptist, preparing the way of the Lord and making a proclamation, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He didn't say it subtly. He didn't say it quietly. He shouted it. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He had to do something in order to get the attention of the people. He had to awaken the people to a situation that let them know that God was moving, that God was making a move upon them, and God was giving them an opportunity to awaken. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. He came crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight, because the Lord was coming. In fact, the Lord was already there. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Go to the next one, brother. And the same John had his raiment, camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. In other words, John was a strange guy. It wasn't nothing. He was strange. He ate strange. He looked strange. He dressed strange. He did everything strange. And you know why he did everything strange? Because he was a servant of the Lord. He wasn't the same as the world was. He was different. He was sanctified. He was separated. Praise God. But he had power. The Bible tells us that John did not have one known miracle to his account. Not one known miracle to his account. But yet, when he spoke against Herod and Herod's sin, it brought Herod. It shook Herod. It brought fear and frightening to Herod, to the point that Herod wanted to kill him. Herod wanted to destroy him. Herod put him in prison. And of course, naturally, Herod's lover got rid of John the Baptist, because he had a powerful voice. He came out of the wilderness crying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Praise God. Go on, brother, go to the next one. And then went out to him Jerusalem. In other words, he didn't go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem came to him. They came out in the wilderness. They heard this man out there crying in the wilderness. They came out to him. He didn't go to Jerusalem. They came out to him, and all Judea and all the regions around about Jordan. They all came out to hear what this man had to say. They all came out to hear the message from God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Praise God. Go on, brother. And they were all baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. My goodness, his arms and his body must have been broken to baptize all of those people. Praise God. He baptized all of those people. He called them out and told them that they needed fruit meat for repentance. Go on to the next. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to this baptism, he said unto them, O generations of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who warns the world today? Who warns the religious society today to flee the wrath of God? You don't believe the wrath of God is upon us? I don't believe the wrath of God is upon us. But I tell you what, I believe one thing, that God is shaking this world. Earthquakes, all types. The Lord is awakening. He is trying to awaken the society. God is allowing man to understand that man can't do much without God. Hallelujah. You can depend upon your own wealth and your own position if you want to. Amen. But there's no stability in that. And here is John the Baptist coming out dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and telling them to bring that they need to that they was a generation of vipers, a generation of snakes, handed down, snakes handed down from one generation to another. He rebuked them. This is the danger of religion. That's the danger of religion. He rebuked them. He said they were vipers. Vipers. Generations of vipers. In other words, they were handed down from one generation. In other words, they came from a generation of vipers. And a generation of, and a generation before them that followed before them were vipers. They were confused. Confused. Turn to the next one, brother. Bring forth, therefore, fruit meat for repentance. You got to bring substance before the presence of God. Am I right? Bring forth fruit meat for repentance. You got to be real before God's presence. Go to the next, brother. And think not, say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. It has nothing to do with where we come from. But it has everything to do with who we're serving. Praise God. Go to the next. And now also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree, listen. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It's in every tree. In other words, John the Baptist was not pulling any punches. He was not pulling any punches. He was very real in what he had to say. He said, every tree, every tree. That meant every individual that did not bring forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Go to the next, brother, please. And I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. I whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, Jesus. You got the Holy Ghost? Did you ever have any fire? Did you ever have any fire? He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now everybody thinks that's the day of Pentecost where they had the fiery cloven tongues, but that's wrong. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Trials. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with trials. Why? Isn't that fiery trial in your life? Isn't it testing your position in your Holy Ghost? He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with trials. You will have problems. Praise God. So if anybody thought that when you got the Holy Ghost that you was going to live a perfect life, trial free, you came into the wrong situation. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with trials. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is your comforter and trials are what build you. If there's nothing there to test your life spiritually, you will never grow. You will never understand the knowledge of the power of God. You will not know that God has power. That's right. I know God, and I know more about the Lord, about the bad things that happened to me that he delivered me from. When my body got sick and he delivered me from sickness, or he healed my body. Trials. Or when I had this thing persistent that came against me, or spirits that came against me, or different things that came against me. Right? Look at this. It says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire. Doesn't the scripture talk about that fiery trial? Trials. Test. We don't like to be tested. We don't like to be tried. See, the beautiful thing about it is, the first thing the Lord gave you before he allowed you to go into trials was that he gave you the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that he will never give you more than you can bear. He will not give you more trials than you can bear. As an individual, he knows us individually. He will never give you more than you can bear. But you can give you more than you can bear. You can create trials in your life that the Lord has not designated for your life. And you can give you more than you can bear. You can do it, but the Lord will not give you more than you can bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Go to verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand? Hallelujah. In other words, all power is in the hand of God. Am I right? And he will purge thoroughly his floor. What's the floor? The church. He will purge his church. He's separating. Listen, y'all, listen to me. He's purging the church. The floor. It's the church. It's where you sift. See, trials separate you. See, he will purge. His fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the gardener. But he will burn up the sheaves with unquenchable fire. He's purging the floor. He's purging the floor. The shaves that don't get through, he shall burn with unquenchable fire. Oh, man. What about this all gracious and all merciful God? Remember now, there is no eternal security. There's no such thing as eternal security. This thing is grace, there's faith, but there's no eternal security. There's places where God is attempting to build us, to take us spiritually. He expects us to reach those levels. He expects us to reach those levels. Why? Because he empowered us, because he gave us the Holy Ghost. Praise God. He empowered us. He gave us the Holy Ghost. But he also gave you trials to test the Spirit, to let you see that the Spirit of God is the most powerful thing. What did the Bible say? Jesus was tempted in all points as you and I, yet without sin. He walked in flesh. He experienced it. He knew. Listen, Brother Wallace. He knew that the amount of Holy Ghost that he gave you was powerful enough to see you through. Hallelujah. He knew it. He whose fan is in his hand, he will purge. He will thoroughly purge his floor. He will thoroughly purge it. Nobody will enter into the presence of God by mistake. See, you know what? What we have to do to understand about salvation is it's very serious. It's very real. It's very serious. It depends on what we do. We don't just sit by and be saved. You know, you don't just sit by, oh, I'm baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and salvation is, oh, I'm just in. No, you're not in. No, you're not in. No, you're not in, because the Bible says he baptized you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I was telling my wife the other day, she was telling me about something, we was in the car and everything wasn't acting right. She was just yakking. I said, stop complaining. Hallelujah. I said, stop complaining. God knows all things. Didn't I tell you that? Stop complaining. The Lord's going to keep. See, but we murmur, we complain against the trial that God has placed in our life. We murmured. She was complaining. I said, stop it. I didn't want to hear no more of it. Stop complaining. Praise God. In other words, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Hallelujah. It's going to work out. God's not going to let us get killed. God's going to protect us. He's going to keep us. Amen. We got it. We right now, we're on a mission. We're doing a work for the Lord, and we're in the condition that we're in. That's all right. God's got to protect us. It's a trial. It's a trial. But no, what we do is we murmur and complain against the trial. And once you murmur and complain against the trial, the devil amounts his enemy against you. That's why the Bible talks about don't be complainers. I hear sometimes more people complain in the church than I do in the world. What in the world y'all complaining about? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Just complaining, complaining, complaining. Well, this, well, that, but this, but that. But what? But what? It gets on my nerves. You know it gets on my nerves. It gets on my nerves. Because what we're doing, we're not exercising the power of God. We're not exercising the power of the Holy Ghost. We're being shortchanged. We're being shortchanged because our minds and the circumstance have more power over us than the Holy Ghost does. That's why he put the trial there, to build you. That you may identify that this situation is for God. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Pick up your cross and follow him. You're supposed to be dead to all that mess. I'm telling you the truth. You're supposed to be dead to it. But no, we keep yakking. We keep talking. Praise God. And I come along, everybody looking at me like I got three heads. I look like John the Baptist. I look like John the Baptist. Praise God. I look like John. Oh, there's the pastor. Don't say nothing around him. He's going to start preaching. Praise God. Why? Because I want people to live a positive life. I want people to be lifted up because of the power of the word of God. I want them to find strength and power in the things of God. And not keep losing out to the situations and the circumstances. We lose out. Oh yeah, we might be. Listen, if you don't have what you need yet, you're waiting on God. God will provide your need. Do you believe that? Now you think you don't want to wait on God? I'm waiting on God too. I'm waiting on God too. If God don't provide, the only thing I can say, oh me. Praise God. But God will provide. We have to take it. You have to take the will of God and you have to make it work. Amen. You got to take the will of God and you got to make it work. You think the devil going to let you make it work? You think the devil going to sit around, hey, listen, here you are, you pursuing what you pursuing to do, for you live for God. You think the devil going to sit around and just let you become the man of God that the Lord wants you to become? No! Ain't no way. He ain't gonna let you do it. But you remember now, as the devil attacks you, God got that devil on a leash. And man, he can roar, bark, grizzly, he can do everything he wanna do. As soon as he attempts to do too much, God yanks that leash. Try to break his neck. Because God lets him know, that's my child now. Amen. That's mine you messing with. Now, I put you out there. I want you to build them up. See, God wants us to understand spiritually what's all out here. You cannot win souls. You can't go into people's houses. You can't do different things if you're not equipped. You go into people's house. Listen, Brother Wallace, you taught a lot of Bible studies, right? You've been to some weird places, right? Huh? You've been in there. You know people got TV on, smoking cigarettes and all kinds of stuff, right? All kind of spirits flying around, right? Attitudes, all kind of things. Here you are, you trying to teach a Bible study. You know, you got all these contradictions. You don't know what spirit might come out the kitchen or around the corner, do you? Am I right? You don't know. I've been there. You don't know. Listen, I went to God's house to preach one time. Give him a Bible study one time, and come to find out that. The problem was, come to find out, he was a friend of mine. Come to find out, he was on drugs. And the drug dealers was at the house. Let me tell you what. The drug dealer was at the house, and he was high off drugs. I walk in, my little innocence, you know. Walk on in. And the first thing the drug dealer say, and his girlfriend, who is he? And the guy, I guess the guy took him in another room and explained to him, right? And he explained to him who I was, I guess. I don't know if he explained to him or not. Then he came back and he was talking to me and he was trying to tell me he wasn't up for all this today. I said, well, we made this appointment. And he said, well, and this guy, and he was in the room, he had not taken any drugs yet, but he didn't want, he said, I don't want to take any drugs. I said, well, you don't want to take no drugs. I said, well, wait, let's start praying. Right there. I said, let's pray now. And I start praying in the name of Jesus. And boy, we was praying. And he couldn't pray, but I could pray. And I tell you what, we went to the next room. The front door was wide open. And the girl and the boyfriend had ran down the stairs. They ran out the building. Why? Not because of me. Because of the power of God. They were gone. Bam! They took off. I was a young Christian. Don't get me wrong, I was a young Christian. I was thinking, oh, Jesus, you sure got power. Hallelujah. They didn't, I don't know if they heard us pray or whatever, but whatever, they didn't feel comfortable and they ran out. The door was wide open. They ran, and you know what he started saying? He said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He was so excited about what took place. I said, the Lord don't want you to be in bondage. See, y'all got power. But God wants to build. See, through trials and tribulations, he builds power in you. If you don't go through anything, you can't help anybody through anything. You can't help a soul. You can't tell nobody about the greatness of God if you never struggle. Amen. If the devil doesn't come against you, you don't, but you got to take the will of God and you got to make it work. That's the problem with church today. We sit around everything, we expect everything to happen professionally. Same thing in your prayer life. Praise God. Now everybody think, man, since the camp is crazy. Think Sister Cinnamon is crazy. But we open our mouth. Hallelujah. I'm fighting devils. I want the devil to know that I'm on attack. I ain't going to be defeated. You're not taking me down. I'm not going that easy. Praise God. Now, some people think that. Some people say, well, you know, we don't want to do it like that. What you mean? It's not the... Listen, you got to open up your mouth to receive anything from God. You got to open up your mouth. You got to open up your mouth. You got to let the devil know that I mean business. Hallelujah. See, as long as you don't open up your mouth, you know what? The devil got you trapped. You're trapped. He got you trapped. He know he got you trapped. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got. You got to open up your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Devil mad. Huh? You know why? Because in a shout is victory. I ain't talking about hype. See, this is the problem. The problem is that, you know, a lot of preachers make people hype people up. I ain't talking about hype. I'm talking about power. It's different between hype and power. See, hype, you get temporary results. Power, you get liberty. Power, you get liberty. And listen, if he sets you free indeed. But we don't want to go through nothing, man. I don't want to go through no trials, Lord. I'm tired of trials. I am too. You think I ain't tired? Every time I turn around, there's something else. Car breaks down. Both cars break down. Josie cracks her head open. All kind of stuff happened. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Roosevelt called me and tell me, who called me? Who called me and told, Andre called me and tell me about Josie. Huh? I'm a nervous wreck. Oh, Lord, they took my baby down to the emergency room. Praise God. And here I'm sitting here. Huh? But what could I do? Oh, you know what I could do? Pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, there's blood all over the place, but she only needed one stitch. Huh? I'm thinking, oh my goodness, blood all. He's telling me it ain't pretty. I thought, oh Jesus. Oh Lord. Oh God. Hallelujah. I'm not fearful that. I'm just fearful. I'm thinking my poor baby. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. But you know what? But I felt comfort because I'm thinking I got the Lord. He ain't gonna let her go down. Praise God. I didn't get all antsy. You know, I don't get me wrong. It's not like I didn't feel like getting in my car and driving up to the hospital. Amen. But I realized my wife was there, so I didn't have to do it. Praise God. If anybody was a nervous wreck, she probably was more nervous wreck than me. But I know one thing. She was praying. We pray. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of God. We realize that. And even on top of all the mess that's going on, he is still a great God. Take it. You got to take it, y'all. You got to take it. The devil's not, listen, if it's right there, the devil's not going to hand it to you. You got to take it. You know, Paige, you got to take your victory out of the devil's hand. You got to take it. Amen. You got a need, sometimes you got to take it. In Jesus' name. Bam. You got to take it. But sometimes we get so, I don't know how to say it, nonchalant. You know, man, you need some urgency in your life. This is the problem with church today. You need urgency. Urgency is a very important thing. Urgency is not panic. It's not panic. People think urgent. It's not panic. But they are things that are urgent. And sometimes God wants us to deal urgently with situations in our prayer life, urgently. Praise God. Sometimes God allows things to be out there to see what we'll do, to see what our reactions will be towards it. How bad do we want it? When do we want it? Praise God. But sometimes we don't take it. We wait for somebody to give it to us. The devil's not going to give it to you. The devil's not going to give you what you need. The devil's not going to give you whatever. He's not going to do it. He is not going to do it. He's going to do everything to hinder you from getting it. And that's why you got to make a stand. And you got to take it. You got to take the will of God and you got to make it work. Because the Bible works. You take it, you make it work. You know, it's just like I remember in sickness. Sometimes you look at it and you say, I'm sick. And, or my child is sick, or the situation is sick. And you know what? Okay, I might go to the doctor, so and so, but I ain't gonna stop praying. I'm gonna pray until it's behind me. Praise God. Pray. Don't, you know, we pray these little lay me down to sleep prayers. You know these little lay me down to sleep prayers. Heavenly Father, we all in Jesus. Don't worry about it. There's faith in that. But sometimes there's some urgency. And the urgency is in the realm of the spirit where you got to say, in the name of Jesus, you got to command this thing. I got to command this infirmity to leave. I got to take authority over this thing. I got to mean business against it. You know? Hallelujah. When you read the scriptures, you know, Jesus didn't play with devil. He didn't even lay hands on devils. You remember that? He didn't lay hands on the demonic spirit. He didn't lay hands on them. He didn't pull out a bottle of oil and anoint them. Hey, he told them devils, listen, hey, let me tell you something. You got to go. Sometimes that's what we need to say. Hey, listen, you see that infirmity? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And sometimes we say, well, you know, hey, listen, some things take energy, take urgency. And all of a sudden, when I start saying in Jesus' name, I really mean it, then I start speaking in tongues. I start feeling the power of God. I feel the urgency and the need. Amen. Because there's got to be an urgency and need there. That's why the Lord gave us the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible says when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. Praise God. How come I see so many powerless people in Pentecost? How come I see so many powerless people in Pentecost? How come I see so many people that's unexcited about the power of God? How come I gotta be, look like the fool sometimes? I don't mind looking like the fool. I'll be John the Baptist any day. I will be John the Baptist any day as long as it keeps me free and liberated. I don't mind being John the Baptist. I have no fear of being John the Baptist. I don't care what people, you know what? I've come to one point in my Christian walk. I don't care what people think about me and my service to God. They say, well, he's a fanatic. Well, hey, they got fanatics playing soccer. Huh? Football, make a touchdown and folks go crazy up in the stand. Huh? People go bananas. I mean, my goodness, I hate to turn the radio on. I'm serious, I hate the radio. I've come to the point, I hate to hear all these sport talk shows over all these fanatics, and it's so nasty and so vulgar the way they talk. You know what I'm trying to say? It's nasty. It's vulgar. I thought, man, you mean AFN paid money for them to put this mess on? But I realized that's what people want to hear. That's what people want to hear. And it's vulgar and nasty. And all they talk about is Michael Vick and whoever done this and done that. I don't care about all that mess. It's garbage. It's garbage. It is. I'm interested from a distance. I like to know what's going on. But I don't need to know all the details. But that's all you hear. The devil rubs himself into our world. We got to take the power of God and we got to make it work. We've got to make it work. And the reason why we got to make it work, because it does work. It does work. We got to be excited about the power that the Lord has given us. Because if we're not excited about it, the devil is excited. The problem is that the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Am I right? Doesn't say that in Matthew chapter 16. Does it say that because the church is a force that's cringing behind? Huh? That's why, listen, let me tell you something. That's one of the reasons why the devil can take us over into depression. Fear. Fear. Anxieties. The Bible tells us that the Lord gave us the power of love, the power of love and a sound mind, the spirit that he gave us. Fear. Fear. Fear of failure. Fear of everyday life. Fear of circumstances. Fear. 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 Fear of loss. Fear of what might happen tomorrow. You know, some things you might lose, it might be good for you. Because you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. Some things can be good. But fear of loss, fear of all types of things, fear, fear. The world fights against it, is entrapped by fear. Fear and urgency are not the same thing. When I'm in America and I stand into the midst of a Walmart, I'm not fearful that anybody would snatch my child, but I'm on an urgency. I'm watching. And so therefore all my children were with me. Because I know that they do that in Walmarts. At 2:00 in the morning. after we come out of church. Am I right? There's some fruitcakes out there. Is that fear? No, urgency. Urgency. Some people are just too nonchalant. You know what I'm trying to say? Some of us take life too easily. Just too easy. You know, we just, you know, the Lord will do it. Well, what about your area of responsibility? What about your area of responsibility? We all have areas of responsibility in this. Remember? Remember we talked about, last week we talked about rolling away the stone? Huh? The Lord didn't roll away the stone. He had to roll it away. You have an area of responsibility. And your responsibility to be urgent, have an urgency about you. Praise God. And when that urgency doesn't work, then the power of God comes in. Amen? But we need to be, you have an area of responsibility. Some people are just so, you know, hallelujah. So untouched. I don't understand that. That bothers me. That's disturbing to me. When people are totally untouched. But it also bothers me when people are so fearful that they can't think. They can't explain themselves. They live under the wall of fear. That's why the Lord brings the trials, to test your life, to build you, to let you know that all power and all authority is in His hands. To let you see that no matter what, He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. How come we so easily forget the promises of God? I don't care what you're going through. See, you have to understand, if a person doesn't have the Holy Ghost, he doesn't have the promise. If he doesn't have the Holy Ghost, he does not have the promise that I will never leave you or forsake you. He does not withhold the promise. You withhold the promise. They ain't got the Holy Ghost, they ain't got the promise. They're subject to anything that befalls them. That's right. Now they can get the Holy Ghost, and then they'll have the promise, but until they get the Holy Ghost, they don't withhold the promise. You withhold the promise. I will never leave you or forsake you. No matter how great the tragedy, no matter how great the situation, God is there. Now, have there ever been tested in my life? Oh, yes, it has. I think my greatest test was when my mother died. Things happened suddenly. All of a sudden, I felt this tremendous loss. And I felt as though I couldn't feel the presence of God. I couldn't weep. I couldn't cry. But in the back of my mind, I knew that the Lord was there. I just was motionless. And what it was, I found it later on that I was really in shock. I was in shock. Because everything happened so suddenly and so quickly. It took me 3 days to come out of shock. In fact, it took me three weeks to come out of shock. Because after I went home and buried my mother, preached the funeral and came back, it didn't hit me until I came back. And then I felt the presence of God. Oh, man. And you know what? It was just when I needed it. It was just when I needed it. It was just when I needed it. I learned something from that. And then when people ask me about me going home and burying my mother, I start telling them the joyous parts about it and the things that I learned from it. It's amazing how God can take something so tragic, but yet make it so good in your life. Because when it comes to the position of finality, there was nothing else I could do about it. See, there was nothing else I could do about it. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, I rejoiced in the Lord. I didn't rejoice in the loss of my mother, but I rejoiced in the Lord. And I realized that He was my comforter and He was my strength. Because why? Because unfortunately, death is a part of life. And that's the way it is. And it was through that trial that there was another step for the Lord to help me. Because in the flesh, if I had not had the Holy Ghost and I had not been baptized in Jesus' name, that was a trial that would have been very difficult for me to get by. I'm serious. It would have affected my life even to this day. I know it. Because that was based on my relationship with me and my mother. It would have affected me to this day. But God has a way. God has a way. Thank you, brother. God has a way of taking the most tragic thing in your life and using it to help build you. Oh, so therefore, that's why we pray for all of our loved ones. Praise God. You know, I think about it all the time. I got a prayer list, and I turn the page up there, and I always see my sister's name and her children there. And then I in my mind, in my spirit, I begin to pray again. I want them to, you know, my sister came here years ago, got the Holy Ghost, but she never got baptized. And I think, Lord, she got to have the fullness of salvation. You know? The urgency. I'm telling you what, if you don't feel the urgency for your own people to be saved, it's going to be very difficult for you to feel the urgency for the life of others. I'm telling you. If you don't feel, and I'm saying that urgency, I mean, well, you want your mother to be saved, you want your father to be saved. I'm not saying, I don't know if they ever be saved or won't be saved, but the only possibility that they got to find real and full salvation is through you. And if you don't have that urgency for them, you won't basically have that urgency for anywhere else. And the worst thing you could think is that they can't not be saved. Then the devil has you hookwind. And he's robbing you of the promises of the power of God. Let me wrap this up here. And they departed, and Jesus began to say unto the multitudes, I'm reading from verse 11 in chapter 7. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? He asked them a question. A reed shaking in the wind. You ever see a reed that's shaking in the wind? It's just blowing. But you went out to see. But went you out to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. So he wasn't in the king's house. He was out in the wilderness. But when ye went out, what went ye out to see? For to see a prophet, yea, I say unto thee, more than a prophet. You have the power to be prophets of God. I'm not talking about a title either. You know, everybody wants to get on the title thing. I don't even want to preach about that mess. That's the biggest bunch of garbage I ever heard in my life. You know, everybody got to have a title. You know, I don't need a title to serve God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your ministry in your life, as people see you, designate who you are. Praise God. Your ministry in your life is what you appear to be to the multitudes, not to what you want to be to yourself. This is what people, that's where people have a problem at. See, I didn't call myself to the ministry. God called me. Amen. I didn't label myself as being a pastor. God labeled, the people labeled that upon me. I didn't take that label upon myself. Amen. I allowed the people to give me that label. People see your ministry fits the call that God has placed upon your life. Now, if we work within that, God can fulfill that. God can fulfill it. You cannot fulfill it because you can't call yourself to it. And we know that when we get to outward circles, that people have called themselves to all types of things and got all kind of ministers and elders and missionaries and prophets and Lord, name, you name it. They're all kind of things. I mean, it's just a circus. It's a mess. Praise God. And they're putting people more bodies than they are liberty. Ain't nobody find no liberty in a mess. Praise God. You are prophets. You can prophesize the power of God. For I say unto you that he's more than a prophet. For this is he whom is written, behold, I send a messenger before thy face, which prepare the way of the Lord before thee. Let me tell you something. Every time that you deal with a person's life, you are the messenger of John the Baptist. going before that person before they come into the presence of God. The Bible says that you're a written epistle. John the Baptist didn't have the Holy Ghost, but he had power with God. Amen. That's why you need the trial. It builds you up. You can't go into a household when everybody's smoking and drinking and looking at TV and eating chips, because you might decide to smoke and drink and eat chips with them. Well, give me some chips. What you got on the TV? I put my Bible on the side. We look at it together. Huh? Because you're dealing with spirits. Oh, I like that movie. What you talking about? I come here to teach. Praise God, I come here to teach. I come to overcome all those spirits. Praise God. Hallelujah. Touch that, you know, I've been to the houses like that. I have never told anybody to shut it off, but because of the presence of God, they shut it off. They shut it off. Oh, let me move this. Praise God. Amen. You can go for a social position if you want, and that's what you'll get. Verily I say unto thee among you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist, withstanding that he is the least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater. That he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet and the greatest man that ever was born in the flesh. But he was never compared to anyone that has ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? Such a powerful ministry. But yet, it shows you how great the power of God that's resident in your life is. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, because they possess the power of heaven itself. You possess the power of heaven itself. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's all types of things in the world. There's human spirits in the world. There's spirits in the world. There's all types of. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So therefore, when we tell that an infirmity it needs to go, it's got to leave. In Jesus' name, it's got to leave. Amen. When we go through our household and we begin to pray and we realize that foul spirits are in our house, in Jesus' name, you got to go out of here. You got to get out of here. Praise God. Amen. You got to go. And you also got to put out what's entertaining them. That makes sense. You got to put out what's entertaining those spirits too. Because if you don't put out what's entertaining those spirits will come back. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. Don't say that. Yeah, you got to put it out. Kick it on the curb. Hallelujah. Praise God. Put that thing on the curb. Whatever it is. Whoever it is. A radio, a TV, a computer. I don't care what it is. Whatever it is, put that thing on the curb. Because if you don't put it on the curb, it will put you on the curb. Hallelujah. Put it on the curb. Hallelujah. Get rid of it. Hallelujah. And from the days of John the Baptist unto now. Now listen. From the days under John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, for the violent take it by force. The kingdom, not, listen, it didn't say the kingdom of the underworld. It didn't say the devil's kingdom. It says the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, for the violent take it by force. Who is that? Who is the violent? You are the violent. Got to take the will of God and you got to make it work. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. No. I rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. I take authority over it. The violent, take it by force. the violent take it by force. Amen. You got a need. Sometimes you got to take that need by force. Like I told you, I need a healing in my legs. Amen. I had all that water on me. I took it by force. I said, Jesus, you are the Lord God of heaven and earth. You have promised me that you would heal my body in Jesus' name. Amen. Didn't feel a thing. Felt like I was praying to a brass ceiling. But I claimed it because why? Because it was by faith that I claimed the promises of God, not by feeling. And all of a sudden, man, my legs start drying up. All that water start leaving. And man, it ain't dead. It's still free. The doctor looks and says, oh, this is a miracle. You're right. Because I serve a miracle working God. Hallelujah. See, sometimes you think you wonder why you fall short, because you're not urgent about it. See, the man told me about being on a dialysis machine. I said, no, in Jesus' name, no. I walked into the dialysis place, and the door be open, and the devil said, "Well, you gonna be no? I ain't gonna be back there." Them that's back there, but I ain't gonna be back there, cause I serve a God. Praise God. I serve a God that has all power. I ain't back there, Emma. Oh yeah, you gonna be. The doctor say, well, you know, no. Listen. Miracles of miracle working God power. Sometimes when you step out on faith, you gotta stand on it. You can't go by the symptoms. You can't go by how you feel. Oh, it still ain't doing anything. So what? If you stepped out there, stand on it. Trust God. Trust Him. You'll see His hand move. But no, wait. Well, you know, praise God. Don't get me wrong. There's things that we're going to have our time to check out. And we're going to have sicknesses that come against us that will possibly take our life one day. That might be true, but the Lord will prepare us for that. But when I'm feeling the fullness of my life and I'm feeling the fear, oh no, that's not God. See, I realize when I feel fear, that's not God. The Bible tells me fear and torment is not of God. And all of a sudden I start pulling out the weapon. Praise God. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Take authority. Oh no, you just go down. No, listen, if I go down, I'm going down fighting. I'm fighting. Now you can sit by and let them take you down easy if you want. I'm fighting. Because it takes something to fight. It takes energy to fight. Amen. Take it. I gotta let y'all out of here. Let's stand. Take it. Praise God. Take it. Don't leave anything for grabs. Take it. And what I mean by take it, the Lord has left us a book with full of promises. Not only did He give us promises, He gave us results and experiences in this book that prove the power of God. Why don't we take it? I ain't talking about hype either. There's some situations, circumstances here that God wants to step into. Let Him step in and let Him prove Himself to be the God that He is in your life. Amen. We're under attack, but that's all right. We're under attack because we're doing the will of God and we're attempting to do the will of God. Now, I don't care how bad you struggled last week in your prayer life. I don't care what you struggled with, what you went through. But your mind is there, and you got a mind to serve God. He's trying to rob you of that mind to serve God. Don't let Him rob you of that mind. Go forward. Put the agenda of God first, and God will see you through. You will pray through. You will receive all power. You will feel the power of God. You will know that God is God. You will, your body, our children will be healed. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You will get that job. You hear me? You will get that job. You will get that job. Praise God. You will. Because it's the will of God. Amen. And if the devil does anything to fight us, if we're trying to do God's will, we've got to step in the gap and say, Lord, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. I don't care what bureaucracy they pull against you. I don't care what they done. Greater is he. God's already got on the map. You hear that, Andre? You hear that, Richard? You hear that? You hear that? It's already on the map. I want y'all to claim victory. Amen. Never claim a defeat. Never claim a situation that shortchanges the power of God. Never. He has all power. He has all authority. He is a great and an all-powerful God. He will do. Praise God. Amen. Don't doubt it. Praise God. Don't get me wrong. I know what it's like to get discouraged now. There ain't no sin in discouragement. I'll let you know that. Praise God. No sin in discouragement at all. We human. We will become discouraged. Praise God. But that don't diminish the power of God. In fact, sometimes he allows us to be discouraged and bewildered to show the power and authority of him in a greater sense. Take your hands out of your pocket, son. Amen. Sometimes he'll take you all the way down to that level of discouragement, and then pop. And you say, oh. Hallelujah. Praise God. They that wait upon the Lord. Let's pray, y'all.